And what a difference it makes being people of faith in a world of no hope. For we know that this life is not the end. You know, I was reminded of that yesterday. I went to memorial service for a friend of mine. And the last piece of music picked up the great words of John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress, Mr. Valiant for Truth. And it described him coming to the river. And as he went through the river, all the trumpets sounded the other side. That's the faith. That's why we gather on a Sunday and not any other day of the week. We are resurrection people. Boy, I'm not even preaching yet. Andy and Amanda Sheldon are going to read to us from God's Word, Isaiah 55, Luke chapter 19.
Isaiah 55, 1 to 3 and 6 to 7. God's offer of mercy. The Lord says, come everyone who is thirsty, here is water. Come you that have no money, buy grain and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, it will cost you nothing. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Why spend your wages and still be hungry? Listen to me and do what I say. You will enjoy the best food of all. Listen now, my people, and come to me. Come to me and you will have life. I will give you a lasting covenant with you and give you the blessings I promised to David. Turn to the Lord and pray to him now that he is near. Let the wicked leave their way of life and change their way of thinking. Let them turn to the Lord our God. He is merciful and quick to forgive.
And Luke 19, 1 to 10. Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus went on into Jericho and was passing through. There was a chief tax collector there named Zacchaeus, who was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was a little man and could not see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay in your house today. Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him with great joy. All the people who saw it started grumbling. This man has gone as a guest to the home of a sinner. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, listen, sir, I will give half my belongings to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay back four times as much. Jesus said to him, salvation has come to this house today, for this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. And Lord, with the psalmist, our prayer is that you will open our eyes that we may behold wondrous truth out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder how many of you have been to York to the Jorvik Viking exhibition there. We went there some years ago. It was a fascinating experience. Because what used to happen is that you were put into a time capsule and taken back to the 25th of October, 975 AD. And there you quickly discovered how different life was then from today. You were reminded, I won't tell you exactly how, that there was no such thing as internal sanitation. There was no such thing as central heating. And all those other mod cons we take for granted. And yet for all the differences, you also discover that there were similarities. You could hear a baby crying, see children shouting at one another. All of life was there. And likewise, when we turn the pages of the Bible, we discover that all of life is there too. Yes, the events recorded in the Bible took place many years ago. And yet, when we, as it were, in our imagination, step into a time capsule and go back to the day of Jesus, we discover that the needs of men and women that Jesus came to meet are the same. So with that in mind, I want us to look this morning at the story of Zacchaeus, the little man who climbed a tree to see Jesus. And in particular, I want to focus on the verse that rounds off the story. Verse 10 of Luke 19, Jesus declares, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." If you remember nothing else, remember these words. Let's pretend we're at school. Let's read those words together. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Yes, it's this which makes the story of Zacchaeus so pertinent to us. Because Jesus came to save not just Zacchaeus in his lostness, but us in our lostness too. For however different we may be from Zacchaeus, some of you here couldn't even climb a tree. Jesus came to seek and save us too. Without Jesus, we're without God. We're without hope. We are lost. But I anticipate, let's return to the story. First of all, the Son of Man came to seek. You know, at first sight, of course, it wasn't Jesus who did the seeking, was it? It was Zacchaeus. Luke writes, verse 3, that Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus. Yes, in the first instance, it was Zacchaeus who did all the running. It was he who packed up work to see Jesus. It was he who climbed the tree. Why did he climb that tree? Was it just idle curiosity? Had he nothing better to do? No, I think there was more to this tree climbing business than that. I would like to suggest that there were three factors at work, all wrapped up with the fact that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. First of all, I think it's not unreasonable to suggest that Zacchaeus wanted friendship. Has it ever occurred to you that Zacchaeus was almost certainly a very lonely man? I believe that when Zacchaeus passed by, people spat on the ground. No self-respecting person would ever have dreamt of passing the time of day with him. For tax collectors in those days were hated. They were hated both for their disloyalty and for their dishonesty. They were hated for their disloyalty because they were collaborators working for the occupying power, collecting taxes. And they were crooked as they came because they added all kinds of extras for their services. Nobody ever would make friends with a tax collector, let alone a chief tax collector like Zacchaeus. He was the absolute pits. It's difficult to get an equivalent for Zacchaeus in our time. One American pastor likened him to a corrupt subprime mortgage agent on steroids. I don't know. Nobody cared for Zacchaeus. Nobody save Jesus. Now, perhaps Zacchaeus knew that Jesus had a name of being, and I quote, the friend of tax collectors and sinners. Maybe he'd even heard that one of Jesus' close associates, Matthew, was a former tax man. Perhaps, thought Zacchaeus to himself, perhaps he'll talk with me. And maybe there was a second reason too. Perhaps Zacchaeus wanted peace. Because I guess that he must have been a very troubled man. I mean, unless he was a Joseph Goebbels, he must have known that the kind of work he was doing was not right. He was not a Robin Hood, robbing the rich for the sake of the poor. He was robbing the poor too. Am I exaggerating and believing that at last his guilty conscience had caught up with him? Did he want peace? Peace of mind? Perhaps even peace with God? I guess that he'd heard that this rabbi from Galilee was in the forgiveness business. And maybe there was something else too. Maybe Zacchaeus wanted happiness. Now, in one sense, of course, he had everything. We are told by Luke that he was rich. He had everything money could buy. In our terms, he had a Rolls Royce in the garage, a great yacht down at the marina, 10 million quid in the bank. Well, perhaps that's not so much these days, not if you're a footballer at any rate. But you get the point. But money cannot buy happiness. And I think Zacchaeus, in his guilt-filled lowliness, could not have been a happy man. Jesus, by contrast, though a poor Galilean peasant, seemed to have everything, or at least everything that mattered. Perhaps he could help me, thought Zacchaeus. Yes, I think this was why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted friendship. He wanted peace. He wanted happiness. But of course, the real turning point came when Jesus saw him. Things began to happen in Zacchaeus' life when, as Luke tells us, Jesus came to that place. He looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay in your house today." Have you ever asked the question, how did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? Was it an example of supernatural knowledge? It's been said that Jesus has an uncanny knowledge of the secret affairs of others. Actually, I think people pointed out Zacchaeus to Jesus as Jesus passed by, and they said, "Look at him." And what's more, we'll tell you who he is. Whatever, I don't know. But one thing I do know was that Jesus took the initiative. You know, Zacchaeus could have stayed up that tree forever. But Jesus called out and invited himself back to his home. And all of a sudden, the situation was reversed. At one point, it seemed that it was Zacchaeus who was seeking Jesus. But here we find Jesus seeking Zacchaeus. In the words of our text, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. An eminent Jewish scholar once confessed that at this point, the originality of Jesus is to be found. For the rabbis used to say that if sinners return to God, God will receive them. But they never said that the love of God goes out to seek sinners where they are. And that, of course, is what happened to Zacchaeus. And, of course, what happened to Zacchaeus is a picture of what happens in general. As far as Jesus is concerned, as the Apostle John later wrote, this is what love is. It's not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. Yes, in Jesus, God took the initiative. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And what happened then still happens now. I think of those words of the risen Christ that we find in the book of Revelation. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they will eat with me. I believe that Jesus is still there, standing at the door of your life this morning. You may have thought that you have come to church in search of Jesus, but actually, Jesus is in search of you. I believe he is saying to you this morning, come down from your tree. Come down from your observation post. Get off the fence. Open the door of your life to me. The Son of Man came to seek. And secondly, the Son of Man came to save the lost. My mind at this point goes to some words of Jesus we find in Mark 10:45. The Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for sinners. Now, when Jesus spoke these words, he was looking ahead to Jerusalem and to his death on the cross. And of course, it was on the cross where his mission was fulfilled. It was precisely to save us that Jesus hung and suffered there. But what has this got to do with the story of Zacchaeus? What has the story of Zacchaeus got to do with the cross? Have you ever asked yourself that question? The answer is found in the words of Jesus to Zacchaeus. "Hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay in your house today." Now, the crowd was stunned. They were absolutely horrified at these words. Indeed, they said, "This man has gone as a guest to the home of a sinner." Well, as Peterson puts it in his paraphrase, "What business does he have getting cozy with this crook?" They couldn't believe what was happening. And to understand people's consternation, you have to realize that Jesus wasn't simply saying, "I'm hungry and could do with a bite to eat." No, in the context of that culture, Jesus was doing something much more significant. He was actually offering friendship and forgiveness. Listen to these words of a distinguished New Testament scholar. "In the East, to invite a man to a meal was an offer. It was an offer of peace, trust, brotherhood, and forgiveness. The report in 2 Kings 25 that Jehoiakim was brought by the king of Babylon from prison to the royal table is a public proclamation of his rehabilitation. In a similar way, King Agrippa I had the supreme commander Silas, who'd fallen out of favor, invited to his table as a sign that he had forgiven him." Jesus, in inviting himself back to the home of Zacchaeus, was saying, "I want you to be my friend. I forgive you for all that you have been and are." And is that not what the cross is all about? In one sense, the cross is all about friendship. Actually, the technical term is reconciliation. Reconciliation, friendship between God and man. Listen to the Apostle Paul reflecting on the cross in Romans 5. He says, "We were God's enemies, but he made us his friends through the death of his son." Or 2 Corinthians 5. "Our message is that God was making the whole human race his friends through Christ. The Son of Man came to save," said Jesus. And as a result, he offered forgiveness and friendship to Zacchaeus. And he offers us the same too. That's good news. Thirdly, words of our text again, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, from a Jewish point of view, Zacchaeus obviously was lost. As far as they were concerned, he was absolutely beyond the pale. Why, he was a tax collector, a sinner, who wouldn't have darkened the door of a synagogue. But God sees things quite differently. Because you see, from his point, it's not simply the Zacchaeuses of this world who are lost, but people like you and me too. It's not just the obviously immoral and corrupt, but people like you and me. The Apostle Paul once declared, "All have sinned and come short of God's standards." True, we make our distinctions, but the distinctions we make are totally insignificant. It's a bit like climbing Mount Everest and shouting down to the person below in the valley, "Listen, I'm nearer the stars than you." From God's sight, there are only two categories, the lost and the found. And without Jesus, all of us are lost. In the words of Isaiah 53, all of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going our own way. Yes, as a result of our own willfulness and stupidity, we have wandered off the path. We've sinned against God and his holy laws. Left to our own devices, we're in danger of being lost forever. And if you don't like the term lost, then what about the synonym perish? For lost and perish are translations of one and the same word. It was to seek and to save us that Jesus came. Or as John 3:16 puts it, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And the question I want to ask this morning is this: what are you doing about this offer of life and forgiveness in Jesus? Hurry down, Zacchaeus, said Jesus, because I must stay in your house today. Now, of course, Zacchaeus could have stayed up that tree. Or he could have sheepishly climbed down and gone back home or gone back to the office. But no, we read that Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him with great joy. And you remember how the story goes. Zacchaeus becomes a changed person. He doesn't simply repay folk whom he's cheated, he repays them four times over. And life from then on takes a different complexion. And Zacchaeus is now going the Jesus way. But to go the Jesus way, Zacchaeus had to take that first step. He had to, as it were, climb down from the tree. He had to respond to the call of Jesus. He had to open his heart and his home to the Savior. And what was true of Zacchaeus is true of you and me. The Savior calls. He asks us to come down. He asks us to come out of the cold and experience his warmth, to open up our hearts to the Savior. Hurry down. Do you sense the note of urgency? Let there be no delay. It's been said that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. I meant to get round to it, but perhaps never did. Don't put off deciding for Jesus, for this is a life and death matter. We cannot afford to mess. We are the lost, we are the perishing. Jesus has come to save us from our sins. That's what this table is all about. Let's turn. Let's believe before it is too late. Before the Savior has gone and we are left lost and alone. Let's pray. Sometimes we tell the story in an amusing way for children, but it's actually a sobering story. Here again the words of the risen Christ. Listen. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Let me lead you in a prayer of response. Lord Jesus, this morning I've heard yet again your offer of love and forgiveness. But today, I want to open the door of my heart to you. Come in as my Savior and cleanse me of my sin. Come in as my Lord. and direct my living.